This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to GEICO.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Raids by Belgian police. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal. Along with Jennifer Koschenka, it is Friday, March 25th. Glad you're on board. Here's what's up this hour.
Authorities in Brussels have detained a half dozen people in connection with Tuesday's deadly terror attacks. Plus, officials are struggling to identify the dead.
Sad note from Hollywood. Actor and comedian Gary Shandling has passed away at the age of 66. Hear how other comedians are reacting.
In sports, the higher seeds in the NCAA tournament easily advanced last night. Four more games tonight will bring us to the Elite Eight.
And a little debate for parents. Who's more expensive to raise, a son or a daughter?
A lot of things do cost more for girls. For instance, clothes are cost about 4% more for girls than boys. Toys also. This is kind of scary. And actually a study from the New York City Department of Consumer Affairs found that girls' toys, toys targeted to girls, are about 7% more on average than boys' toys.
Market Watch reporter Katie Hill on which child takes the prize for costliest crumb snatcher. She's here in about 20 minutes. Belgian police have picked up six people they want to question about this week's terror attacks on the airport and subway system in Brussels. They were detained in raids last night that took place in three different locations. Meanwhile, the Belgian justice and interior ministers both offered to resign a day after Turkey disclosed that it had warned Belgium last summer that it suspected Ibrahim El Bakrawi, one of two suicide bombers at the Brussels airport, had ties to Islamic State. Belgium never acted. Dimitris Avramopoulos is the EU Commissioner for Migration, Home Affairs, and Citizenship.
The attacks, of course, were a shock, but unfortunately, they did not come as a surprise.
Also, Belgium lowered its terror threat level one notch from its maximum level, meaning the threat of a new attack is no longer seen as imminent. U.S. officials, though, warned they believe Islamic State is planning more attacks in Europe, but the timing was uncertain. Separately, next door in France, police also carried out counter-terror raids in a Paris suburb and detained a man who authorities say was in the advanced stage of planning a terrorist attack. Two forensic teams in Belgium are struggling to identify the people killed in Tuesday's terror attacks because of the severity of the injuries and the number of nationalities involved. And we've gotten word today that at least two Americans have been confirmed dead from the coordinated attacks 3 days ago. At least 31 people were killed and more than 300 injured during the incident. Here's State Department spokesman Mark Toner.
Our embassy staff is providing all possible emergency consular assistance to U.S. citizens. Belgian privacy laws place certain restrictions on our access to hospitals that are treating the injured, but we're making every effort to visit, meet with, and assist those American citizens.
Meanwhile, two forensics teams in Belgium are not only relying on dental and medical records to ID the victims, but also birthmarks and tattoos. Well, there's a theme that has repeated itself again with the terrorist attacks in Brussels. Siblings were involved. Khalid and Ibrahim El Bakrawi join a list of brothers involved in nearly every major attack on Western soil since 9/11. It's a story from New York Times reporter Scott Shane. Scott, what have you found?
Well, I mean, there's been this sort of accumulation of cases going back to 9/11, but very noticeable in recent last few years. You know, that just struck us how many pairs of brothers have turned up in various plots. And so we just thought we would step back and talk to a few people about, you know, why this is and what it means and how far back in history it goes. And it really is quite a phenomenon.
Wow. All right. So you don't have to name all the names because I'm sure most of us won't know them or recognize them. But how many of these kind of recent terror attacks involve siblings?
Well, you know, the big ones that people might remember is, first of all, among the 19 hijackers on 9/11, there were actually three pairs of brothers, and they were on the two planes. They were, in each case, the brothers were sitting side by side when they got on the two planes that ran into the World Trade Center and the plane that they crashed into the Pentagon. Then, you know, in more recent times, the Boston Marathon bombers, the Tsarnaev brothers,
right.
the Kouachi brothers who attacked the satirical newspaper Charlie Hebdo in Paris, and now there's, you know, in the Paris attack last fall, and now in Brussels again, there are brothers who have turned up as, you know, sort of perpetrators.
Wow. I know in your story it was said that siblings can make ideal recruits for groups like ISIS. Why is that?
Well, you know, when you think about how the authorities are able to detect and prevent, you know, a terrorist plot before, you know, they actually pull it off, it almost always involves some kind of electronic communications, either intercepting phone calls, intercepting text messages, intercepting emails. And if you're talking about a pair of brothers who live together, you know, first of all, they, you know, they have every reason to be seen with one another, and they can talk privately whenever they want. And so it's much easier for them to operate below the radar than a, you know, sort of a far-flung group of unrelated conspirators. So that's certainly part of it. But also when you think about the recruitment process, usually in terrorism, people find that despite all the online kind of radicalization that takes place these days, to push a person to the point where they're actually willing to commit violence usually requires a sort of person-to-person contact, you know, in a close group of friends, comrades.
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, brothers fit the bill, and they can kind of egg each other on, encourage each other, brainstorm, you know, share ideas about a radical ideology, and eventually, you know, plot in secret without a lot of trouble.
Mm. We're speaking with Scott Shane, national security reporter at the New York Times. He's also got a new book called Objective Troy, A Terrorist, A President, and the Rise of the Drone. And we're talking about his story now entitled What Drives Siblings to Unleash Terror. Okay, so although not siblings, we did see a husband-wife combo in San Bernardino, California in that attack. Is that, I don't know, is there some connection to that?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's sort of the same thing. I mean, the husband and the wife obviously spent lots of time together, had plenty of privacy to, you know, plot, to encourage each other to, you know, accept this militant ideology and to decide that, you know, it was the right thing to do to kill a bunch of strangers. And, you know, they were, that attack came as a complete surprise to the authorities. Even in this country where, you know, the FBI has often picked up people who are interested in this kind of violent plotting.
Thanks, Scott. Scott Shane, New York Times reporter. 14 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Men, if you're like me, you appreciate the feeling of a clean, smooth shave from a quality blade. The sort of shave that cuts clean without the burn. So why are you messing around with generic razors that cost $32 for an 8-pack when you can shave with Harry's high-quality German-engineered blades for half the price? And if saving money and a clean shave isn't incentive enough, Harry's will give you their starter set, complete with a razor, three of their world-famous blades, and shaving cream for just $15. And shipping is always free. We'll also give you $5 off your first order. Our way of saying thank you for trying us. How are we able to save you all this money and still give you the best shave you'll ever enjoy? By owning the factory that manufactures them. That's how. So go to Harry's.com right now and enter code 4000 at checkout. That's Harry's.com, code 4000.
Thanks for spending time with us on this Friday. Actor and comedian Gary Shandling has died. He made his name on a mock TV show called The Larry Sanders Show in the 1990s. He was 66. The cause was an apparent heart attack. USA Today, he was fully engaged until just days before his death, tweeting jokes about Kanye West and Mitt Romney and the Republican presidential contest. Mr. Shandling was a comedian, an actor, producer, even a director, but he's best known as Larry Sanders, the anxiety-ridden talk show host whose hilarious character flaws made entertaining fun of the talk show genre from 1992 to 1998. Here he welcomed actor Alec Baldwin to the show.
A lot of you probably don't know that Alec and I, Alec used to actually date my ex-wife, Francine.
No, I was referring to our charity work with multiple sclerosis.
He was the creator, writer, and the star. Fellow comedians reacted on Twitter. Billy Crystal wrote, quote, Gary Shandling was one of the most brilliant people I have ever known. Steve Martin tweeted about Mr. Shandling's beautifully unpredictable mind. 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning, Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
More than six people have been detained in raids around Brussels linked to this week's attacks on the city's airport and subway system. Earlier this week, police found a large stash of explosives and other bomb-making material in one apartment believed used by the suicide bombers. Meanwhile, news is slow to come out about the victims of Tuesday's attacks. State Department spokesman Mark Toner.
We are centralizing all information that we have on affected U.S. citizens from all sources. That includes information the Belgians have shared with us, information provided directly to us. From family members and loved ones, as well as media reports.
Secretary of State John Kerry is now in Brussels for counterterrorism talks with top EU and Belgian officials. The UN mediator at Syrian peace talks in Geneva says he's encouraged that there's been no drama and no walkouts, but there's also been no visible signs of progress on a lasting truce. Talks wrapped up yesterday after 10 days, and they're scheduled to restart April 9th. Vice President Joe Biden is calling on Senate Republicans to consider President Obama's Supreme Court nominee Merrick Garland while also defending his past comments. The Republicans have used to defend their move to deny Obama the ability to fill the seat. Biden says Republicans have not offered any substantive criticism of Garland, a moderate whom Republican senators have praised in the past.
Deciding in advance simply to turn your back before the president even names a nominee is not an option the Constitution leaves open.
The vice president ripped the so-called Biden rule that Republicans have evoked consistently since Antonin Scalia's death. He accused Republicans of cherry-picking from his speech and says his suggestion that a seat not be filled was merely a hypothetical. Mick Jagger says today's show in Havana will be a milestone for the Rolling Stones.
Time changes everything, and so we're very pleased to be here. And I'm sure it's going to be a great show.
Jagger offered a brief greeting in Spanish after the band's private plane arrived yesterday with the four British rockers and about 60 technical workers and family members. The concert comes 3 days after the historic visit by President Obama.
We're saying this is the biggest act to appear there since 1959.
It's been a while.
When Mick Jagger was about 60, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah, he's 120 now.
Keep on rocking Mick Jagger. My goodness. Thank you, Jen. 22 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Glad you're with us on this Good Friday. Here's a debate for parents. Who's more expensive to raise, your son or your daughter? While many parents have their opinions, competing surveys came to different conclusions. Here's MarketWatch reporter Katie Hill with angles you may not have considered. Katie, what have you found?
I just started to see what is the research out there. Are daughters more expensive than sons? So on the one hand, a lot of things do cost more for girls. For instance, clothes are cost about 4% more for girls than boys. Toys also. This is kind of scary. If you look at there was a pink scooter and I think a blue or a red scooter. I forget the color. Obviously, one was targeted to the girl, one was targeted to the boy. Exact same scooter. More expensive for the girl. And actually, a study from the New York City Department of Consumer Affairs found that girls' toys targeted to girls are about 7% more on average than boys' toys.
How about that? Is there a reason for that?
Parents are willing to pay that extra premium. Huh. It's unclear, but it's clearly like they looked at very similar toys and just obvious, you know, helmets or scooters or whatever, and they saw, these girls' toys are systematically just more expensive than boys. Who knows? So there's some reasons that girls are more expensive. And then also there was another survey. This is by a British bank that found, boys would cost $1,700 more a year. And their reasoning was that boys put a lot more wear and tear on things. Like, it's funny, my coworker was saying, my son's kicked the soccer balls through the window and I got to pay for that. And then they kick them in the river and I'm always buying them new equipment and they tear through their clothes like crazy. So, there's some arguments for that. And I think the answer is it really depends on what activities your kids are into and kind of how they deal with them.
Yeah, because that's a pretty big swing. The one study says with girls by $2,100, the other one says boys by $1,700. I can beat all that. My daughter dances. So
Our
so you are way
are,
more yes. on the girl column yes. costing more, right?
Roughly a college tuition type level. All right, does it matter the age?
Yeah, well, so here's what's interesting. So these studies where it said boys were more, girls were more, all looked at them till I think they were in age 17. Okay. What's interesting is that boys later in life, after, you know, when they're in college or after, they're more likely to move back home and they're more likely to get financial help from their parents. Oh. So once they hit 18, once they hit adulthood, the boys are probably going to cost you more than the girls. So maybe this all just balances out. Maybe, you know, the dancing will cost more now, but hopefully not. But maybe your son will need more money later in life. So, but that's really what the research shows on that. So you get one, you know, one cheaper early in life and then one more expensive later. Who knows?
Right. We're speaking with Market Watch reporter Katie Hill. Her piece is called "Are Sons More Expensive Than Daughters? A Parenting Debate." All right. What else do you think kind of jumped out here?
You know, what's interesting to me is that there is such a huge range of what it costs to raise a child. The government says it's $245,000 through the age of 17. You look at some articles in the Journal and the Times, and they're putting the price tag at $1.6 million. So to me, it's fascinating that no one really has any idea, because it's hard to parse out these things, right? Like, how much of your housing cost is extra because of a kid? And so I think what this research really shows is that it's very hard to budget for children because there are no really great estimates on how to handle that.
Thanks, Katie. Market Watch reporter Katie Hill in New York. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. To run a successful business, you need to make the most of your time and money. Good news, LegalZoom can help you save both during National Small Business Month. LegalZoom is the smart way to start your business. Right now, when you incorporate or form an LLC, you can also save money on some of the basics to get up and running, like a 3-month trial of QuickBooks online accounting software and a domain name for a year through web.com, both at no charge. After your business is set up, LegalZoom can help with a lot more. Reviewing contracts and dealing with day-to-day legal hurdles takes time away from your growing business. That's what LegalZoom's business legal plan is for. You get legal advice for your business from independent attorneys licensed in 48 states. You also get access to NDAs, lease agreements, and more. Best part is you won't get charged by the hour since LegalZoom is not a law firm. Instead, you pay a low monthly fee. Save time and money starting and running your business during National Small Business Month at LegalZoom.com today. Don't forget to enter Gordon in the referral box at checkout. LegalZoom.com.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Pleasure with us on this Friday, March 25. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koschenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Belgium detains 6 people for questioning regarding Tuesday's terrorist attacks. France thwarts a terror attack they say was in the advanced planning stages. The U.S. has charged 7 Iranians with a hacking attack. Comedian Gary Shandling has died. A Georgia man who thought it was a good idea to detonate a lawnmower packed with explosives has blown his leg off. Batman versus Superman hits theaters today. And if you're caught up in March Madness, we'll examine what it costs to have your own basketball court installed at your house or buy a house that has one already. That story in about 20 minutes. While Democratic presidential candidate Hillary Clinton has a considerable lead in the contest for delegates, the army of college campus supporters for her chief rival, Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders, is holding firm. Mr. Sanders has said he's staying in the race through the Democratic National Convention in July. Meanwhile, Wall Street Journal reporter Jennifer Levitz says the larger pro-Sanders coalition and the smaller pro-Clinton group remain deeply at odds at some colleges. Jennifer, what's up here?
As you say, there is some tension on college campuses, and the reason is the presidential primary contest, which has 2 candidates, one of whom, Bernie Sanders, is extremely popular with young people. He is, as we've reported, he does very well. He consistently wins the youth vote, often by large margins. He often wins the counties that have college campuses. He holds a lot of rallies on campuses that draw thousands of people. So you have him, the winner there, but yet Hillary Clinton is the overall front runner. So a tension has built where you have young Democratic voters who support Clinton saying to the Sanders folks, you know, hey, guys, come on over, let's all get together, let's get behind one candidate, you know, since she seems to have the better chance of getting the nomination. And the Sanders groups on campuses are standing firm, and they're saying no. They love their candidate. They don't want it. There's no indication that they want to move over. And so there is some tension that has, as one student told me, it's kind of reached a fever pitch.
Oh, wow. Yeah, it's almost like those discussions, almost the way those discussions may be happening on the campaign trail, right? Time to get behind one candidate. So these groups are doing it on their own on campus.
Right, exactly. It's interesting the degree to which they've gotten involved. I mean, you know, kind of the people always say, you know, oh, young people aren't as involved in the election and voting, but they have become. They were almost about 19%. They had grown to when in 2012, when President Obama won his second term. I'm talking about the 18 to 29 year olds. Mm-hmm. So they had grown to about 19%. So they are a sizable block, and College Students for Bernie has formed about 200 groups on campuses. So Hillary Clinton has done a lot of outreach too. She's got about 100 groups, so they are courting these voters. The support for Sanders is really interesting because a year ago, Harvard did a poll of young Democratic voters to see who they might want for president and floated a bunch of names. Sanders barely registered. He was on there, but he barely registered. So there really was no conversation going on between Bernie Sanders and millennials. And this year, he's dominating them.
I'd imagine when you focus on college campuses, you're talking too about a lot of first-time voters, no?
That's right. That's what's really interesting here is a lot of these students have never voted. For some of them they were in high school when Obama won.
Yeah.
And they are they seem to be really engaged. The ones that are, you know, interested in this, they seem to be really engaged in this election. And, you know, they like for Bernie, they like his policies. He talks about free tuition at public colleges and universities, so that is a draw to students who are carrying a lot of debt. Hillary Clinton talks a lot about women's issues, and a lot of people, young men and women, really like that.
Thanks, Jennifer. Wall Street Journal reporter Jennifer Levitz. 21 minutes now before the hour on This Morning, America's First News. The new high-performance Dell Latitude systems are the most secure, manageable, and reliable business-class laptops and two-in-ones so employees can do their best work. Outfitted with the latest Intel Core processors, your team can reduce downtime by 50% and boost productivity with 4 times the performance. Make your work beautiful again at Dell.com/radio. Again, Dell.com/radio. Thanks for spending time with us on this Friday. Time now for our weekly look at what we've been searching for the most online over the past few days. We're joined now live by Nina Tyler, Google Trends expert. Good morning, Nina. No surprise, Belgium at the top of the list.
Good morning. Yes, no surprise, Belgium at the top of the list this week, you know, following the terrorist attacks. People have been searching online for more information about what happened as well as how to respond. You know, we saw questions like, you know, what happened in Brussels? Where is Brussels? What does terror threat level 4 mean? How many people have been killed in Brussels? People wanting more clarity around the situation. So, of course, they came to Google to find out more.
All right. So what is Sweet 16? Help me with that one.
That's right. If you have been watching, you know, college basketball over the course of, you know, March, you've been following March Madness pretty likely. And we're down to the Sweet 16 teams. It kicked off yesterday, and they've been vying for a chance to play as a part of the Elite Eight, which will then be narrowed down to the Final Four. And so we've seen a lot of search interest, people wanting to know more about the players. You know, going into the Sweet 16, we saw some of the top search players, Brunson Koenig, Grayson Allen, who plays for Duke, and people actually have been saying that Grayson Allen looks like Ted Cruz, and so we've seen people coming to Google to find side-by-side comparisons and more information.
When I said Sweet 16, I was overthinking it. I was thinking this is something far more complicated for some reason than the basketball tournament. Did you fill out brackets, by the way?
You know what? I did, and my bracket is completely gone. So now I'm just watching for fun.
Yeah, that's pretty much me. I can cheer for anybody I want or against anybody I want because my bracket was done on day one. All right, I want to preview a little bit Batman versus Superman, which opens today. Let me play a clip first.
He has the power to wipe out the entire human race. If we believe there's even a 1% chance that he is our enemy, we have to take it as an absolute certainty.
All right, give us a little bit on Batman versus Superman.
Yep, it hit theaters this week, and fans, they came to Google to find, you know, movie reviews, showtimes, you know, and to learn more about their favorite superheroes, you know, people wanting to know, when does it come out? Who wins in Batman versus Superman? So people looking for, you know, kind of those teasers and more information about the plot line. And also, why are Batman and Superman fighting? Those were some of the top questions that we've seen in the last week leading up to the film's release.
Right. All right. How about Bodie McBoatface? I know this has gotten some chuckles all week long.
Bodie McBoatface, yes, if you've been hearing this, you know, it's no surprise that if you leave it up to the internet to name your state-of-the-art research vessel, this is what they'll come up with. So Britain's Natural Environment Research Council, they asked the public to help name their new state-of-the-art research vessel, and they wanted an inspirational name. Of course, the internet spoke out, and Bodie McBoatface is the front runner in terms of votes, and so they've been experiencing, you know, technical difficulties due to overwhelming interest in this.
That's
and
funny.
So, you know, we saw people searching for, what is Bodie McBoatface? Where do I vote for Bodie McBoatface? And some of the top countries, you know, we saw the UK, Australia, Canada, and the U.S. All showing a lot of interest.
All right, and one more clip we got to play with regards to this softball video.
Hey, man, we got a softball game tonight. Any chance you can make it?
Who are we playing?
Dude, we got a doubleheader, the Cheese Weasels and then Buster McThundersticks. They killed us last week.
These stereotypes videos that these guys make are very funny.
Oh, yeah. This week's trending video, it was created by Dude Perfect, and it's a group of sports-loving creators. They have over 9 million subscribers on YouTube. And the video, it just pokes fun at the colorful cast of characters that you might encounter on the softball field, including the I got it guy, the always on his phone guy, the outrageous umpire. You know, and it has over 4 million views on YouTube, so it's really funny. These guys are, they're great. They're hysterical.
Good. Good stuff as always. Thank you, Nina. Appreciate a few minutes. Nina Tyler, Google Trends expert with us live this morning. 13 minutes now before the hour on This Morning, America's First News. 8 minutes before the hour now on This Morning. Jennifer Kashenka is here with more of America's First News.
Court in Belgium, police have arrested 6 people in Brussels as a major investigation continues into attacks that claim 31 lives in the city on Tuesday. Separately, in France, a suspect who is plotting an attack has been arrested near Paris. French officials say the suspected militant, a French national, was in an advanced stage of a plot. Word also coming in now that at least 2 Americans were killed on Tuesday. North Korea has presented another American detainee before the media 9 days after it sentenced a U.S. tourist to 15 years in prison with hard labor for subversion. Kim Tong-chul told a news conference in Pyongyang that he had committed unspecified espionage acts that were attempts to undermine North Korea's leadership. He says he was detained last October. The personal feud between Republican candidates Ted Cruz and Donald Trump continues to brew, with Cruz calling Trump a sniveling coward. Cruz called out Trump yesterday for posting an unflattering picture of Heidi Cruz.
Let me be absolutely clear. Our spouses and our children are off bounds. It is not acceptable for a big, loud New York bully to attack my wife.
The bickering was started by an ad mocking Trump's wife posted by an anti-Trump super PAC. A powerful spring storm that battered Colorado earlier this week reached the northern Midwest yesterday, leaving 3 dead in Wisconsin and hundreds without power in Michigan. In Wisconsin, icy roads led to a couple of fatal accidents. In the south, a severe thunderstorm swept through parts of Texas, Oklahoma, Alabama, and Florida. Earl Hamner Jr., the writer who drew upon his Depression-era upbringing in the Blue Ridge Mountains of Virginia to create one of TV's most beloved family shows, The Waltons, has died. He was 92. For once, everything went according to form in the NCAA men's tournament. The higher seeds all won last night's regional semifinal games, including top overall seed, Kansas. Coach Bill Self was pleased with his team's win over Maryland.
We're so excited to be advancing and get an opportunity to play for the right to go to the Final Four against a terrific, great Villanova team. But tonight, I thought we played just superb.
Other winners last night were Oklahoma, Villanova, as mentioned, and Oregon.
Well, that pretty much does it for me. I had one Final Four team remaining, and it was Maryland.
And poof, there they go. Thank you, Jayhawks.
Oh, well, it's fun anyway.
Do you remember, though, like, was it a week or so ago, the story we did talking about how this year, if you're ever going to pick against the number one seed, it's the week, you know, it's the time to do it. This is a weak bunch. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. They are rolling. Thank you, Jen. 6 minutes now in front of the hour.
Mailing your letters and packages has just gotten a lot easier thanks to Stamps.com. With Stamps.com, you can mail and ship anything, anywhere, using just your computer and printer. No more trips to the post office, and it's so easy. Anyone can do it. Just click, print, and mail. With Stamps.com, you can buy and print official U.S. postage right from your desk. Stamps.com does all the work for you. They'll even give you a digital scale that automatically calculates exact postage for any letter, any package, any class of mail. And setup is easy, too. Within minutes, you'll be printing your very own postage. You'll never have to go to the post office again. Right now, sign up for Stamps.com and use my last name, Deal, for this special offer. A 4-week trial, plus a $110 bonus offer, including postage and a digital scale. Don't wait. Go to Stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Deal. That's Stamps.com and enter the code Deal.
Got basketball fever after watching the NCAA tournament. Got the itch to have your own court at the house for you and the kids. The Wall Street Journal says about 1,000 luxury homes with basketball courts are for sale right now, with a median price of about $1.8 million. A premium of $215,000 over homes without courts. Indoor courts are even rarer and pricier. Only 85 on the market, with a median price of about $3 million. While a court is an expensive feature, the sheer space it occupies also contributes to the premium. Also, homes with courts are typically 29% larger and sit on lots 33% bigger than other homes. Installing a court, by the way, generally costs between $15,000 and $30,000, depending on the size, cost, and labor, and features like hoops and lights. You gotta have lights. The project can take a few weeks. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.